It may be the end of the road for the Jodie Whittaker Doctor, but if you're going to have a send-off, this is how you do it. Talk about pulling out all the stops. In fact, that's a great idea. Let's talk about this amazing episode all on this edition of your Don't Blink podcast from Golden Spiral Media.
This is your Don't Blink podcast, a fan podcast devoted to the BBC series known as Doctor Who. Sharing thoughts, theories, and listener feedback are your hosts, Wayne Henderson and Jada Wilkerson.
Welcome back. I'm Jada Wilkerson, Whovian, comics enthusiast, and welcome to the Masters Cyberman Dalek Plant. No, wait, the Cybermasters Dalek Master Plant. Welcome to Sacha Dhawan.
He's got a lot going on, and I didn't mean to make that rhyme because I didn't know you were saying. Anyway, podcasting since 2005, I'm Wayne Henderson from MediaVoiceOvers.com. Glad to have you with us, and I haven't been this excited to talk about an episode of Doctor Who with y'all in years. So on this episode of the Don't Blink podcast, we're going to discuss, I guess it's season 13, it's a special Doctor Who episode called The Power of the Doctor.
And as is tradition, we'll share your insightful feedback. So what did we love and maybe didn't from The Power of the Doctor? And where do we even start? I mean, Siberia, 1916, London, 2022, 1963, a space train, who knows? But seriously, though, starting off the episode, we're on a space train. It's carrying a very precious cargo, a young girl. And, of course, my immediate thought as well was, is this the timeless child?
That was my initial thought as well, Jada, but they didn't really touch on it beyond that she has the power, unless I missed something. I still need to watch this episode a second time. It's been crazy here lately, but she does have power. And then when we're, you know, when we first saw the space train, I admit I was a little nervous at that point, but after then I was not nervous at all. And when we go to Siberia, 1916, I got to give them props, so to speak, because that stage design, the set was pretty lavish. It was looked great. And then, you know, obviously no hiding that it's the master. He's bearded and everything like that. And he's going by Father Gregory. Interesting.
Yeah, very interesting. It's there's so much that happens and so much packed in such little space. Sorry, space. But from there, I mean, we go to where the Doctor and Yaz on the cyber planet or cyber moon.
Whatever that was.
Yeah. They didn't really give us a clear name for it. It's just that planet in the sky.
You know, it's kind of close to a miniature Death Star with different powers.
Yes. I thought about that, too. And I liked it. I did like it. But, I mean, it's got all kinds of stuff. It's got another TARDIS on it.
my mind was spinning at that point. Did you have any initial guesses as to what that TARDIS was before they quickly revealed everything?
Oh, geez, yeah. I mean, I thought, okay, so it's the Doctor, so somebody's going to land there later, which is in the future or vice versa or something like that. Or, like, that's the same TARDIS or something. But as it turned out, no, it was just a... which is a spare TARDIS. a spare TARDIS that had been connected to the moon. They took the core of it and just connected it directly into the metal planet. That's crazy. That's something pretty intense considering what we know a TARDIS is and can do. So that's essentially what the moon was, just a cyber-converted TARDIS with, what was it, a Quarant at its heart as its power source. The Quarant disguises the little girl who had been tethered to the planet.
Yeah, you just can't go around tethering children to harness their power and things like that. And, of course, it seemed like a trap, and it kind of was a trap. Now, these Quarants, have they been in Doctor Who before? I know the Doctor said it's so rare that she's never even seen one, but I don't recall even hearing about one. Is this something new to Doctor Who lore?
I believe so. And I would like them to explore it. Sentient energy. That's a pretty fun thing.
I'll take some. I'll gladly take some of that. They were all over the place in this episode, but it was such a joy to watch it unfold. You know, unit headquarters has a nice new building, and we find out already that in addition to that child and the quarant, and they're doing all these experiments, we've got seismologists that are disappearing, paintings are disappearing, and then all of a sudden, Kate Lethbridge Stewart, yet again, and the long-awaited return of Ace and Tegan.
Yeah. Wow. I mean, I expected it. I'd seen the promos and the footage and everything, but it was just so good. And such closure to see them, to see that they continued doing what they were doing. I mean, once a doctor has touched your life, you know, you're changed forever. And it was good that they weren't like, you know, just sitting around being housewives or just mundane lives or something, you know?
And they were pretty excited to maybe get back in on the action. They meet the doctor. They meet Yaz. It seemed a little bit awkward for Yaz. She's like, how many different ladies have gone around the universe with the doctor? But then again, she doesn't really know the doctor from all of his previous incarnations. So it's kind of interesting. But of course, the master being a bit of a prankster, he's defacing all of these legendary paintings with, of course, his own face.
Yes.
Love it.
And it was great. I really liked the when they revealed that to the doctor, and I think it was Yaz was like, "That's the master." And Ace and Tegan were like, "That's what the master looks like now." Yeah, it's great. It was great. They did so well on this. And I forget how it happened, but somehow we ended up in Naples. I think the video that the master hacked, whatever, it was like, "I'm teaching a class for seismologists in Naples." So they go to Naples, and he's definitely teaching a class for seismologists, but he's already miniaturized them, and it's just the master doing his flair, his trap, his drama, because he's the master. All that just to tell the doctor that she needs to leave Earth, otherwise this is your last day, and you will be obliterated from memory forever. That's some master-type stuff to do. And, of course, it's all part of his plan, because there's always a plan with the master. But he eventually gets arrested, and it seems like he's taken to where he wants to go, to UNIT.
Yes, and if the master is hoping to go to UNIT, I wish they would realize that's the last place you should take him. And as right. They're taking him out, of course, one of those great lines, clear up the tiny bodies and notify the loved ones for me, will you? Oh, he's heartless. He's heartless. He sure is excited to be going into the bunker at UNIT, which is, you know, even this is his exact plan. He is in the know. And he is such a pro at getting inside everybody's heads, even just with standard one lines here and there. He's just messing with everybody and telling Kate Lethbridge Stewart something bad about her dad. And I'm like, oh, calm down. I mean, Sasha Dewan plays this role perfectly. He's definitely the best actor on the show right now. And that's not really disparaging the other actors, because there's some good ones on the show, but Sasha Dewan is just taking it to another level.
He is. I've always enjoyed his master. I like his master. He really cranked it up a notch. He took it from 11 to 12 for this one, I believe. I just enjoyed it so much. I can't stop rambling about it. You know, someone else I enjoyed was the return of one of our favorite space swashbucklers, Vinder.
That was nice.
Yeah, that was out of nowhere, too. I like it. They brought him back, which I'm hoping. It kind of feels like we didn't need Vinder in this at all. But the fact that they brought him back hopefully is saying that they're not done with him. Because I do like that character in that situation. And I enjoy the young man that plays... Yeah, I forgot his name. The young man that plays Vinder. Vinder's always welcome for me on Doctor Who.
Yeah, I think in one of our previous episodes, we talked about how Vinder and some of the people that he's with, that they could possibly even have their own spinoff series, which would be very cool. And of course, those people that we met on the special New Year's Eve episode about a year ago, they could have a good spinoff show too. Imagine the shenanigans. But yeah, Vendor, he's on a mission. I forget exactly who he's working for now that we took care of the flux and all of that, but it's still good to see him.
Yeah, I don't think it's really clarified. I mean, I know that he and his wife and I forgot the Lupari's name.
It's all right. There's a lot of characters in this episode.
Yeah, they go off on their own, and obviously they're still hunting down mysteries and things to solve, because when he comes out of the wormhole, he says that he's transmitting information that he successfully found the missing Quarren. So, like, they were out there doing something, looking for this Quarren. And, of course, led him right back to the Doctor.
Things are falling into place. And I wouldn't be surprised if we see Vendor again in one of the upcoming three special episodes, I guess next November, December, whenever we get those. But meanwhile, back at UNIT, who would have known, Jada, that the tissue compression thing that the Master does, it could also work in reverse? I thought it was fatal. And the next thing you know, there's all sorts of Cybermen coming out of the miniature, and they're attacking Ace and Tegan. And then, of course, the Cybermen help the Master to escape. It's a pretty violent takeover, but he does escape, and then he's in Bolivia. We are traveling the world in addition to time and space. And
yeah,
it was pretty wild to see. And I would have to double check, but it looked like the special Time Lord Cybermen had gotten a paint job. They looked more like flat black with a little bit of flourish instead of kind of being gold like they were in that previous episode. But whichever case, they look cool. And the Daleks kill the renegade Dalek that was kind of giving inside information to the Doctor. So we knew that wasn't going to last, but I didn't think they were going to kill that renegade of themselves. And then I thought this was going to get even darker, because they forced the Doctor to get inside the Dalek's casing, which, even though we've seen, I think, Clara as well as the Peter Capaldi Doctor go inside, I don't think that they were necessarily forced in there. Could you imagine the horrors that could happen if the Daleks trap you in one of those and take you away?
Yeah, and they've made that pretty clear, you know, in the previous episodes and stuff, that like a Dalek casing is not where you want to be. You're right. So as soon as they put the Doctor in it, I was like, oh my goodness, this is going to get wild.
It's got to smell bad, if nothing else, and be a little bit gooey.
Yeah, fried Dalek. Ooh, not good, not good. But, you know, the one thing about that interaction, though, that I took heart in was the idea that Dalek was like, yo, I think we're screwing up. We were made to do one thing, and we're doing something totally different. And at first I thought that was a trap. It was like, that sounds too good and too much like the carrot you use to dangle in front of the Doctor to get her to do whatever.
Right.
But it was real. You know, it was real. So I'm hoping maybe RTD is just hinting that that's the way he's going. Maybe they'll explore that once he takes over. Maybe not all Daleks are so diehard, or I don't know. We'll have to see. It was just a thought. It was interesting, though.
Yeah, there could be more renegades like this one. We've seen a lot of crazy things over the years on Doctor Who.
Yeah. But anyway, back in St. Petersburg in 1916, when the Doctor and the Master meet, wow, that's craziness. The Doctor's there. The Master's there. He's got what do they call themselves? The Cybermasters?
I think so, something like that.
Yeah, the Gallifreyan Cybermen. Daleks, and like, you're waiting for some weird, like, well, this can't be, you know, like something to rewrite this, or somebody, one of these guys to be a hologram or something, but it's not at all. It's all of them really coming to an accord under the Master. And the master just says that, we'll just call this the day that he killed the Doctor. He said, with a little help from his friends. It's scary to think that more than just a subplot is happening. You know, scary to think that these guys are really amassing together.
Yeah, it's like, what's the worst that could happen? I don't want to know.
Yeah, the master doing this. And, you know, just like he tells the doctor, she has her fam and now he has his.
That was weird, Jada, when he said that the Daleks and the Cybermen, they're his fam. He's like just pushing all the buttons. You got your fam. I got my fam. And the way Sacha Dhawan plays the master, he does the craziness and the zany things, kind of like what Missy would do. But he also has this dark, intense side of him that is, frankly, pretty scary.
Yeah, and Sacha Dhawan makes that flip, that change so fast and effortlessly and organically that I absolutely love it.
Yeah, he's one of those bad guys that you love to hate, or you hate to love. But he's definitely doing something right.
He's bringing life to the master. That is true. And it's great, the idea that he takes it back. He said, what does he say? He says he's going old school. Well, what happened when, I guess, when you upset the Time Lords and you did something wrong, they forced regeneration upon you, which is kind of like death, you know, murder.
Right.
which is, all of that's pretty heavy.
I never thought of it as old school before, but I guess it kind of is if it goes all the way back to Gallifrey and the Time Lords.
Yeah. That's crazy. Considering, I mean, he just cobbled together a conversion planet. Like, this is one master plan. Well, one plan of the masters.
Right.
That is really pretty awesome. He's had some pretty goofy and not thought out plans. This master, I think, has been a little slyer than the rest. I think he's been a little more clever, but this plan is a pretty good one. He's got everything covered. I mean, when it's done, the planet's going to be a foundry for more Cybermen, and the Daleks get something out of it too. I can't remember exactly what the Daleks got out of it. But good plan. Good plan.
And it makes you wonder where else he could take this, because it is very diabolical and it's maniacal. It seems to be very well thought out, and he's really taking this thing to heart. And I wonder if the trigger seems to have been when he found out the story and the lore of the Timeless Child and the big cover up, and how even, you know, a season or two ago, he was telling the doctor how everything you think you know is a lie. And that's the truth. The lie was, it was a big lie. And I think it just took him off the deep end even further, if there's such a thing.
Yeah, he was crazed before, but I think learning the truth completely unhinged him. And when you're in that kind of a, I guess, mental crisis, then, I mean, you take a good hard look at the rules and what is and what can be, and you decide whether or not you're going to follow it. And it feels like he was just like, you know what? If everything's a lie and the rules are totally off the board, then the rules are off the board. I'm gathering Cybermen. I'm gathering Daleks. We're going to go mess the doctor up and be mastery, I guess. I don't know.
Yeah, but before he gets too deep into the evil plan, he's so happy that it's falling into place that he starts celebrating. I mean, some things happened in this scene that I had to watch a couple times during the commercial break. I just had to rewind it because we got the gleeful, what was he, some sort of disco dancing master?
Yes, it was wonderful. It was wonderful. I loved it. Because, you know, I could see so many actors attempting that particular scene and it just coming off far more comedic and maybe feeling out of place. But somehow Sacha Dhawan makes it feel like, oh, well, he's just being weird and celebrating. Like, it's really celebratory to him. And at the same time, he keeps it dark. I don't know. Maybe I've just missed Doctor Who being on TV so much. But I loved everything about that scene and his performance. It was great, 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 great to me.
And since we're in St. Petersburg, 1916, it looked like he wanted to fit in a little bit. In addition to, like, the disco moves he started throwing in a few classic Russian dance kicks and things like that.
Yes.
And as if it wasn't dark enough, what did you think, Jada, when we found out that he's not just forcing the doctor to regenerate, he wants her to regenerate into him and they're going to trade places?
Oh my goodness, that forced regeneration, I was like, okay, I get it. I see where we're going here. The companions will probably step in, do something, but it'll probably kick in the regeneration and she'll have to go the rest of the episode holding back her regeneration power and all
exactly.
This. But no, he was like, no, you're going to be me so that I can be you. I think that was awesome. And I love that they went through with it. That they didn't back down from that plan. And on top of that, they even, I mean, we'll get to it, but I mean, they just resolved it well. And that makes so much sense. The doctor, I mean, the master has always wanted to do nothing more than what? Possess the doctor. And now the master really does possess the doctor. It was great.
Yeah,
it was a great plan.
You want to talk about taking things to the next level. He's still obviously his evil self, even after they trade places, so to speak. And the master doctor tells Yaz that, well, you know, I still need a companion. Let's go on an adventure. And I'm thinking, do you really think she's going to say yes? Eventually, he talks her into going into the TARDIS, but the master doctor is still in a little bit of regeneration mode. I don't know why there's always these glimpses, these things that lead up to it and come after it. It's not a one and done kind of deal, but it was just visually a nice twist to see the master doctor. He's all gloating and he's wearing bits of classic Doctor Who outfits, including a piece of celery. He had a scarf. He starts playing a recorder. I'm thinking, this is bonkers. So cool to see. And Jodie Whittaker, her doctor at this point, ends up on this strange planet sitting on a rock, a cliff, I guess, in fancy clothes. And then all of a sudden we see the actor portraying William Hartnell, the first doctor. And this is a place I don't think we've ever even heard of, but I love the adding it to the lore, because I guess this is a place you go. It's the last step before you regenerate. And because she refuses to pass through, she's now there. And some of the other old classic doctors are appearing and they are all over the place. And the last spot before the doctor regenerates has all these doctors coming to kind of pass along wisdom to her. But They have so much to say that they just keep kind of talking over each other. And it was just fabulous. Just such an epic Doctor Who moment, because we even see the Paul McGann doctor. That was fantastic. Mm-hmm. And things were super amazing until the Jodie Whittaker doctor says that this is all a really good reminder that there's always a way. I'm like, I don't think you can boil down and distill everything that all those doctors said to just be, this is a good reminder, Jada. There's always a way.
Yeah, like, that is the determination of the doctor, isn't it? I mean, you're dead and you're at your crossroads for the afterlife, and you're like, wait a minute, I just thought of a way to save everything, and go back and do it. I mean, that's great. And at that point, I was just like, wow, this is a great episode. I have no idea how they're going to resolve it, everything. And then it got even better. I mean, it's hard to believe, but yes, it did.
I agree 100%. This was already very satisfying. I looked at the clock and said, the DVR says this is a 2-hour episode. Okay, there's more coming. Buckle up. How'd it get even better?
Something that has been needed for many, many years happened. We get Tegan and the hologram version of her doctor, and then Ace chatting with the hologram version of her doctor. Closure. Because it's always been in the thought of everyone's mind, like, come on, these companions, they're either scarred or inspired or broken or something. And it's hard to really kind of tell just from the way that they're written off, like, where these people are in their lives and their heads when they leave. And this brings it full circle. This comes around. This gives us decades of closure, which I'm certain so many people will be appreciative of. And the Doctor saying, "We're more than good. We're ace."
Yes, that was slick. That was just a fantastic callback. It was so wonderful. And then I like also how the Jodie Whittaker Doctor, you know, we know that it's near the end. We know that's coming. And she's appearing as a hologram. I don't know how she's able to be so many places, but I'm just going to go with it. And she even turns into the Ruth Doctor hologram,
yes,
which that just took it to another level, because that's one of my favorite versions of the Doctor for the last like 10 years. I mean, can you say badass?
Yes. Dr. Ruth. No. Yes. that was a complete surprise. And I guess I wasn't expecting that they were going to try and pull as much as they could from all of her run, because I was just so caught up in it. I forgot to, you know, expect so many things to happen. But whew, on top of all the craziness, and even though it was a very, very fast-paced episode, even though it was about 2 hours, it was fast-paced. They put a lot into it, and they were still able to surprise me with things like the Ruth Doctor. I mean, and I don't know if I'm beating a dead horse here, but the Master. I love the Master. He is diabolical. Like, I don't want to say there's no redemption, but he's evil, and I love it. He figured out Force degeneration.
This guy's an innovator. First, we find out that the tissue compression can be reversed, and then degeneration? I mean, okay, something's happening.
So much to unpack. But we get the Doctor back for now, and after her spiritual revelation that it can all be fixed, that maybe there's another way, she realizes it's going to take some help. And the companions end up doing everything all at once. And that reminds me of something that's really wild.
Hey, have you seen that movie? I think the title's Everything, Everywhere, All at Once, something like that. I forget the title, and forgive me, because I'm in Doctor Who mode. But that movie is off the charts. Agreed.
That movie is great. The movie's great. It's great. It's very brain-bending. It has a timey-wimey feel to it, much mm-hmm. like this.
You said it. Timey-wimey. It's so good. And then this episode of Doctor Who, and I know we said we're going to talk about what we loved and what we didn't. Apparently, so far, there's not very much at all that we didn't love, and we loved almost everything. I mean, all those endings. I mean, sure, the Yaz and Doctor, they have that long goodbye. It was a little bit cheesy, a little bit, but okay, go with it. But the scene with Dan and Graham and the invites, and we find out they're invites to a meeting of past companions, kind of like Alcoholics Anonymous, but for companions, it was so sweet. It was wonderful. And it's a place where they can meet and share their stories about the Doctor, because really, where else can they go to do all of that great conversations? And we see even more great past companions, even if it's only briefly. And then the final scene, which I was avoiding spoilers just to be on the safe side, but you know, you can't really avoid spoilers, but somehow I was not ready for this. The final scene, the regeneration, hashtag mind blown, right, Jada?
Absolutely. I think, I'm not even sure what to say. That was an exquisitely done regeneration and the scenes around it, you know, because those are important too. The scenes around a regeneration. You don't want to just all of a sudden cut to, oh, this is the regeneration scene. They ease you into it. I love the way that they did that. I know you said it was a bit, it might have been a little bit, you know, long-winded, maybe a little bit cheesy. I mean, them eating ice cream together on top of the TARDIS. But come on. You've been on adventures through all of time and all of space. one of yous is like, I mean, thousands of years old, and Yaz, oh, we never, there's so much we didn't even talk about, like the way Yaz masterly piloted the TARDIS. I mean, Yaz is at the top of her game right now.
Well, they might as well do it now on her final episode.
Yeah, I know.
And even if the scene was kind of long-winded and a little cheesy, I do give them props because this is the first regeneration that I can remember that didn't take place inside the TARDIS, with the TARDIS blowing up and sparks and flames and everything. This was outside of the TARDIS. I guess maybe she knew that she needed to keep things safe. Maybe the TARDIS... Nah, the TARDIS is going to change when we see it next year with the temporary new doctor. It's going to change.
Yeah, it will. But I wonder if it'll be a mixture of the two. Huh, that'd be interesting.
Yeah, who knows?
But I think the through line that they tried to carry through all those scenes up into and through the regeneration was one of, after such a fast-paced and action-packed 2 hours, it was a through line of like calm and... It was the exact opposite of David Tennant's regeneration almost.
Oh, interesting.
Because, you know, everyone is familiar with, you know, like, I wasn't ready, there's so much more I could do, you know, why now, and all that stuff. She starts to say stuff like that too, but she comes to term with it. She's like, yeah, it was a good run. And Dr. Whoever's next, you know, tag, you're it. Oh, I love that. I love that.
Yeah. It was well done. I don't know why we had so many episodes over the past few years that weren't well done. We did have a few that were really good. But this was just like they were saving up for this. And although this episode wasn't perfect, it had so many great aspects to it. And just seeing the other doctors and companions was enough. But there was so much more. And of course, we talked about it earlier, Sacha Dhawan's version of the Master is brilliant. I mean, sure, I loved John Sims' Master, and Missy was her own sort of amazing. And okay, I'm going to let you in on something here. I'm not much of a shipper on TV shows like they, you know, all through the years and stuff, but I kind of like this whole potential of a Graham and Ace thing. Who knows where this may go? Who knows?
Wow.
I mean, yeah. Did you get a few vibes in a couple scenes there?
Oh, yeah, for sure. Oh, so you're someone who might understand the absolute craziness I've seen? Wow. They looked at each other. There was a look there. There was something that passed on between each other there. Yeah, that being said, I mean, I can't help but have the same thought I had watching this entire thing. There are a lot of seeds planted in this leaving of Jodie Whittaker that I believe RTD is going to try and sprout into like something beautiful, I hope. Something like that meeting, the Doctors Anonymous meeting. You know, from there, several people like, you know, Graham and Ace. Maybe we'll get, you know what, I would like even an anthology series. Maybe just an episode with Graham and Ace doing something, or an episode with some other companions or someone we know doing things. This episode showed us in a weird way what we could have seen over the past couple of seasons. Like, although I still enjoyed our Doctor Who, as we've said, there were several times when the writing could have been better, or certain obvious things could have been fixed, but...
Orphan 55.
yes. The episode we shall not name.
There were some really good ones, too. When we got to the Timeless Child storyline, it was like, whoa, okay, we're changing history. And just the appearance of the Ruth Doctor was amazing.
Yes. I mean, there are some wonderful, great milestones and, I mean, complete mythos-changing scenes that Chibnall gave us. And for that, we are grateful. I'm thankful for his era and the doctor that he gave us. I'm thankful for Jodie Whittaker. And her rendition of the doctor was absolutely exquisite. It was a first in many ways. And hopefully it will be far from a last. But this last episode of Jodie Whittaker as a doctor, I have to give possibly 9 out of 10 Diabolically Disco Dancing Masters as a rating. Only be 10. There's no such thing as perfection, right? So 9 out of 10, I think it's good.
And if I can mix in some fractions, I might give this 9.5 out of 10 miniaturized seismologists. Emphasis on the seismologists. They were so cute and tiny and everything.
And hey, we know it can be reversed.
I'm not so sure it can always be reversed.
Yeah.
Because we've seen a few just thrown around and things like that. And what's interesting to think about, you know, this was a very special episode of Doctor Who, obviously. But if they could throw all of this into this special episode, what if they take next year's 60th anniversary to an even higher level? Because I love the 50th anniversary episode. I watched that again the other day and, you know, bringing in some of the past doctors and just some of the great things that happened in that episode. But what if they do something like that for the 60th as well?
I mean, after this, everyone's going to expect it. I mean, if,
yeah, that's
if
true.
Chibnall can get away with this, then what can RTD get away with, you know, a whole new set of toys?
I mean, we who knows? I don't know, because we can't have everything. I want everything, but I can't have everything. I would love to see somehow Christopher Eccleston in there, some Bad Wolf Rose Tyler, anything and everything. But we have a whole year to wait and a whole year's worth of rumors and spoilers to avoid, Jada.
Yes. But, you know, there's also that one thing that we didn't even mention.
There's something we didn't mention?
Yeah. What?
Yeah. Didn't. Yeah, well, we figured everybody knew. But
I was wondering how they were going to do that. I honestly didn't think it was going to be a straight up transformation. I mean, regeneration, like back to Tennant. I thought there was going to be some weird, I don't know. I figured they would have figured out some timey-wimey something or something, but they were like, just like, no, you're Tennant again.
Well, I know, because we've seen all the press releases and photos and things. We know who the next doctor is. And I didn't know if we'd necessarily see the full regeneration into this new doctor, if we would just see this doctor pass on, so to speak, and then they would wait a year. I was not expecting what? And the teeth are back. And
I know these teeth.
This is going to get very, very interesting indeed. Our poll, which is weekly, when we have weekly episodes, it's annual right now or biannual. But anyways, our poll on Twitter at Doctor Who GSM, as well as in your Don't Blink Facebook community group. How would you rate this episode, you know, on a scale of 1 to 10? And let's get real. I can't imagine anybody picking a 6 or below. So I didn't even make that an option. If somebody really wanted to trash it, they could leave a comment. So 10 out of 10, possibly perfect. Or pretty darn close. 9 out of 10, greatness with just a few minor glitches. 8 out of 10, really good. One of the best episodes in years. Or did people want to vote? 7 out of 10 saying good episode, but I wanted even more. And then after combining the votes on Facebook as well as on Twitter, the perfect score of 10 out of 10 or pretty darn close to perfect got 39% of the votes, Jada. We have not seen that in all the time we've been doing the podcast. And then another 35% right behind them with 9 out of 10, followed by 15% giving it 7 out of 10 and 11% giving it 8 out of 10. So very high scores indeed. I know we're all caught up in the emotion and the reveals, but it is truly a strong episode. And Neil Imbui said it was spectacular. I don't even want to think about it very hard because I know there are some glitches. But just seeing all of those other actors in this episode was beautiful.
Some of the great recent podcast releases at GoldenSpiralMedia.com include the Fringe Rewatch podcast, recently covering season 1 episodes of Fringe, Safe and Bound. and on Mouse House Weekly, they're going over the best rooms at Walt Disney World and Disney-wide special ticket events. Check them all out at GoldenSpiralMedia.com.
Indeed. Now, listeners, we love you, and we love hearing from you. And whenever we end up getting the next episode of Doctor Who, we want you to join in at that time on the Don't Blink podcast by calling the Golden Spiral Media voicemail at +1 304 837 2278. Again, that's +1 304 837 2278. Or you can submit your feedback at goldenspiralmedia.com/feedback. Keep those details handy. Now let's dig into some listener feedback.
Well, hello, Whovians. It's Jeff, X-Force 11, leaving my feedback about the power of the Doctor. So, I enjoy a good Master storyline. I think I'm taken back to my early days watching Doctor Who on PBS and seeing that version of the Doctor and that version of the Master. And while this version of the Master is quite different, I thought it was an interesting type of storyline, bringing together these enemies of the Doctor to take her out. But all in all, I felt like it was a little too forced over one episode, that the Master could have stretched it out over multiple stories, and I think that would have been a bit better. I did, however, enjoy getting to see some familiar faces of the Doctors in the cliff scenes and the holographic AI scenes. I also enjoyed getting to see Tegan and Ace and some of the other companions. I love Graham's idea of a companion support group. That seems like a stellar idea that should have been done sooner. The thing that I am interested in is we are revisiting a familiar face. So we're revisiting the 10th Doctor's face after the regeneration. And while the curator told us that this would happen, I don't know that I'm necessarily a fan. Maybe they had to do this because of when this was filmed and not knowing who the new Doctor was going to be, and this is only a temporary step. I'm not sure, but I am interested to see how they are going to get this going, but we're going to have to wait a year, and that is hard. Now, they could be very nice to me and put it out on my birthday next year, but I'm not sure. But until then, X-Force 11 is out.
All right. Well, thank you, Jeff, once again for some great feedback. And you said you always enjoy a good Master storyline. I do, too. I do, too. I love the Master. I remember watching Doctor Who back in the day on PBS as well, going, man, that guy, oh, that guy, that's going back. But for you, you said it seemed like it was a bit forced and crammed into one episode.
Interesting.
Interesting. I thought it was paced well, and maybe that's what it was. Maybe for me, it being paced well enough or appropriately enough and the writing being on point kind of allowed me to overlook that perspective. I didn't quite get that. It felt like a lot of stuff, but for once it didn't feel crammed to me, but I could see how someone could feel that way about it. And yes, you're right, Jeff. Graham's idea for a companion support group, DA, Dr. Anonymous, whatever you want to call it. it's way overdue. You would think that that would have happened a long time ago, or even like Kate Lethbridge-Stewart said, she's calling up, she's starting in the most obvious place, you know, people that have been with the Doctor looking for intel and people to help with UNIT. Like, that should have happened a long time ago. Somebody should have gathered them up and been like, hey, we know things. We can do things.
Oh, yeah, I forgot that side of it. In addition to being a support group, hey, Anybody else want to come work for UNIT? We'll rebuild the building again.
Again. Yeah, right. Yeah, no doubt. As far as revisiting the 10th Doctor's face, I had totally forgotten that the curator said that, that you might even find yourself revisiting some old faces or something like that. Wow. It happened. I love that. It happened. I understand that a lot of it might have been behind the scenes stuff, but the way it happened, I'm going to go with it. I think they're still going to tell some good stories, and I am okay with it. I mean, it's going to take us a year. Oh, my God, a whole year.
And a little bit more than a year. Didn't they say November?
They said November. Wow. That's, I know from there on, it better hopefully be steady and awesome and just drown me in the Doctor, because a year wait is ridiculous.
That's wild. But so good to hear from you, Jeff Gentry. Let's check in. Who else sent us some feedback? Oh, look at this. It's Samuel Lewis from the Going Through Who podcast, talking about classic Doctor Who. He's kind of like our go-to classic historian. And be sure to check out the Going Through Who podcast. They've been going through every episode of Doctor Who in order from the beginning. And they're actually up to David Tennant. Let's see what he has to say about this episode for us.
Hey there, Wayne and Jada. Samuel Lewis here from Going Through Who. That's tscn.tv/GTW for Going Through Who, where we just started the 10th Doctor era. Or is it the 14th Doctor? We'll get there. Okay, so I know it's my job around here usually to give you guys all of the classic series references and everything like that, but do you want 30 minutes of feedback? Because that's how you get 30 minutes of feedback. This episode was jam-packed with things that made my classic series hearts go pa-pum, pa-pum. I was squeeing by the second. It was amazing. Because we thought we were just going to get Tegan and Ace, and that was it, right? Not only do we get Tegan and Ace, we get most of the surviving Doctors. In fact, I think the only surviving Doctor that did not show up was Tom Baker, which I suppose since he got the thing in the anniversary special, he didn't show up. Or maybe they just couldn't get a hold of Tom Baker. Who knows? But all the other ones showed up, including even Paul frickin' McGann showed up, which made me so happy as a fan of his Big Finish audios that Paul McGann got to show up on screen again and not just for, I got a 50-50 shot of this. I think it's Night of the Doctor, which was his regeneration story that they did. But, oh, I loved it to pieces. And seeing Bradley come back as the first Doctor, even, like, I couldn't have asked for something better. Plus, honestly, the background of these two companions that I don't think I gave you guys, because I'm pretty sure I gave you the Ace and Tegan low down last bit of feedback when we were all gathered together, is that both of them left in bad circumstances with the Doctor, to be honest. And that's something that I had not actually thought about until it got brought up in the episode and I went, oh God, that's right. So it was nice to have those moments where you got them reunited with their Doctors through this plot contrivance of this artificial intelligence thing that adapted to whoever it was talking to. So you got this amazing bit where you got to have Peter Davison talking to Janet Fielding again, and you got to have Sylvester McCoy talking to Sophie Aldred again. And it was amazing. It made my heart sing. I was just so happy, especially Peter Davison is my Doctor, for those of you that don't know. So yes, the Fifth Doctor is my Doctor. So to see one of my favorite Fifth Doctor companions have a sort of closing of the moment with Tegan, just so good. And honestly, most of these people are still playing their characters in Big Finish. In fact, I'm trying to think. Pretty sure every character that came back in this episode is still playing their characters in Big Finish. I think maybe the only exception is getting William Russell back to play Ian Chesterton, because William Russell has retired, I believe, at this point, which is amazing, because it means, if I'm correct, they brought him out of retirement to be Ian for like a couple of seconds. It was amazing. But yes, if I was to give you the lowdown of who all those people in the one thing were, you know, and stuff like that, which a support group for Doctor companions, amazing concept. Why has no one thought of that before? Give me the Big Finish spinoff immediately, please. But yes, so it's one of those things where, yeah, too many references. So what did I think of the episode? Loved it. It's amazing. It was such a good episode. And I'm not just saying that because of all the classic things, like the Master saying, what was it? Something of the Daleks. He literally met. Oh, yeah. The Daleks master plan. Or was it the master plan of the Daleks? Point is, Daleks master plan is one of the classic Dalek episodes. It was amazing that they just threw that in there just for the heck of it. But all in all, still more proof. Sacha Dhawan makes an amazing master. He is on my list of one of my favorite masters of all time, really. And that's a small list, to be honest, because I love them all. I love them almost like I love all the doctors, right? So you kind of have to work hard to get a top spot for me. And Sacha Dhawan definitely gives the things that a master does. In fact, little bit of trivia. He actually, before he was the master on television, was a character in a Big Finish, which involved, my favorite master, Alex McQueen. So is it possible that the reason why I like those two is because Dhawan might pull a little bit of inspiration? It's possible, but who knows? But yeah, all in all, Sacha Dhawan, I'd love to get more of the Dhawan master. I don't know if we're going to, but we'll see. And might have been one of the best regenerations we've ever had, to be honest. It was beautiful. It's quaint. I had some tears that were getting ready to come out of my eyes. And it could not be better to do it back and forth where you have the Doctor's companions talking about them while she's regenerating. Amazing. And taking in one last sunset before we then get David Tennant showing back up. The first time I got to get my fantasy for a little bit. My fantasy has always been have a regeneration and not know who's at the end of it. Mind you, my version, of course, is that BBC Press doesn't let us know who the actor is or anything, and then we just get to find out. Instead, we just had two possible actors to show up because we knew Tennant was coming back for the 60th, but we didn't know in what capacity that was going to happen, right? So we didn't know if it was going to be that regeneration or some other side jag, or we didn't know what was going to happen. So we genuinely didn't know if our new doctor was going to show up or if Tennant was, and Tennant showed up, and clearly something's gone wrong with the regeneration because of the forced regeneration stuff. What? We'll just have to find out. So, by the way, throwing back to the first thing he said, which was new teeth. That's weird. And him going, I know those teeth. Nice little throwback. Liked it. Along with, of course, the what, you know. So, lets us know that this is going to be the Doctor acting like the 10th Doctor again, because can you imagine? I would have loved it, and I can't take credit for this, my co-host Kevin. The idea, Tennant's body, but acting different. People would have had a conniption fit. I realize that. No one would have liked it. I would have adored it, but that's me. I'm the weirdo in the corner. But anyway, feedback's gone on long enough, so I'm going to cut it off and just say, you guys know I don't do ratings around here. I just give a thumbs up, thumbs down. Two thumbs way up. I loved this episode, and onwards to RTD2. Great way to end this era. I loved it to pieces. And I'm not just saying that because I'm a classic fan that got so much catnip I got to climb up the wall. See you guys next year, is it, when we get the centenary, I believe? So until then, see you around.
Excellent. As always, thank you so very much, Samuel Lewis. Check out his Going Through Who podcast for more Doctor Who happenings as they get caught up to the current Doctor. And at the rate that Doctor Who episodes are coming out, he'll be caught up before we know it. Great point on noticing how, you know, Paul McGann, that was a very pleasant surprise to have him so much more back into the Doctor Who family. Maybe they just couldn't get a hold of Tom Baker. What do you think of that, Jada?
Well, you know, actually, I read somewhere that he wasn't able to do it. I wasn't given the reason, meaning I don't know if he physically wasn't able or if he was obligated elsewhere. But I think they did try to reach out to him, and he just wasn't able to do it. So so that's actually kind of true. They just couldn't get a hold of him. They couldn't get him to do it.
That's okay. He was in the 50th, and he was there in spirit. And yes. I didn't know that both Tegan and Ace had left their doctor under bad circumstances. So the reconciliation was even sweeter. And Sam reminds us that Peter Davidson, the fifth doctor, is his doctor. So that gave him extra amounts of squeeing to do. I love the shout out to Big Finish Doctor Who audio dramas because, man, they are flourishing with that. And I love the idea, Sam, of a possible Big Finish spinoff series for the former companion support group, because they could go all kinds of wonderful places. And Sam would even say that this regeneration could be one of the best that we've had.
And you know what, Wayne? I agree. I really thought it was a wonderful, wonderful regeneration. But right now I have to say something. I have to apologize to a friend of mine named Paul, because I may have committed the most egregious Whovian sin ever.
Which is?
I wasn't aware of his level of exposure to Doctor Who media. So he's a gentleman that works with me, and I was just rambling on about it, and he didn't realize this was a regeneration episode.
Whoa. How could you not? Interesting.
Yeah, it didn't occur to me that someone could not be aware. And I took from him something he didn't even know that he had, was that complete unawareness of something awesome about to happen. And I wish I could have just taken those words back. I wish I could have allowed him to have been shocked as we all want to be shocked. Because it's like Sam said, that is such a rare thing. But you know, that's
but life. At least you didn't say, oh, man, the regeneration, and it was David Tennant. Can you believe it?
Yeah. At least I didn't go that far. Because
there were people at my work that aren't really Doctor Who fans. They have adult children that kind of follow Doctor Who. But even Monday morning, they said, oh, yeah, I saw on the news that the one doctor's back. I'm like, it was on the news? They're just spoiling things that hasn't even been 24 hours yet?
Wow, I didn't even know that.
Oh, boy. Yeah, you can't hide. You almost have to just find a way to watch the show live, which I did, because they, here on the West Coast and probably everywhere, they played it twice, like once at 5 p.m. my time and then once at the usual time later on. I'm like, to heck with the Sunday night football game. It wasn't the Packers. They kind of played. They lost earlier in the day. So I'm like, okay, I'm going to have to get dinner early because I need to be in front of the TV at 5 p.m. Oh, it looks like I'm going to be there for 2 hours and 5 minutes. Okay, let's go.
It was worth it, right? But you know what? We've also got some great insights in the Don't Blink Facebook group as well. Our friend Neil Ottenstein shared a wonderfully convoluted episode. So many surprises, including 1, writing Dan out so early in the episode. 2, all of the doctors appearing at the end of existence with the actors in their current ages. 3, different hologram doctors with so many great little moments. 4, Graham appearing in the volcano. 5, the companion support group. 6, the regeneration scene. Those were all great shout-out moments.
Oh, definitely, Neil. Well said. And I love Graham in the volcano with the psychic paper that he was left with. Volcano ex inspector or something like that. It's like, okay, that's a little bit odd. The best part that I love that you pointed out, Neil, was that the doctors appearing with the actors in their current ages. They didn't try any of the Star Wars de-aging magic, which sometimes works, sometimes doesn't. Let's just go with everybody in their current ages and make it real.
Yeah, that was great. I love that.
That was so good. And Mindy in the group said, anybody know what was up with the doctor changing clothes in the regeneration? that's never happened before, right? And that's a good point, because usually we see them wearing the other doctor's clothes for a little bit. But listener Neil Vestal may have found the answer, saying, Mindy, I asked my son this exact same question, and he said it was Time Lord magic, and I'm rolling with it.
You know what? That sounds like a great idea. I'm rolling with it, too. And, Time Lord magic.
And maybe it's because the regeneration was outside of the TARDIS for a change.
Or it had been forced and messed or tinkered with all kinds of stuff. Because I did notice that they showed the actual clothes regenerating, which was new.
Yeah, that was very new indeed. Also in the Facebook group for the Don't Blink podcast, Graham Taylor says, I can't believe they did that bit. Unbelievably amazing, brilliant, genius. And I thought he was talking about the David Tennant part, but Graham adds, getting rid of Dan early in the episode. What a master stroke. Okay. Wow. Not a fan of Dan, but I understand. They really fed the classic Doctor Who fans. That was one of the best episodes ever, Graham says. I really enjoyed it. All of the old doctors and old companions were great to see and really done well also. And when hologram Doctor number 5, Peter Davison, said to Tegan, you scared of the Cybermen? And then said Adric. And Adric was a companion with them that was, spoiler alert for classic Doctor Who, killed 65 million years ago when the Cybermen spaceship crashed into Earth, killing him and all the dinosaurs. And apparently that's how they were all really killed. Yes, yep. Yeah. I appreciate that, because I heard the shout out to Adric, but I didn't understand the context.
Yeah, I had totally forgotten about that. When watching it, that was one of those things that just it just caught me right there. I was like, ooh, that was deep. That was harsh. That was, what are you doing, Doctor Who? What are you doing? Because, I mean, I'm not going to lie, there were some tears shed before this episode was over, and that was almost one of them. Jeff Gentry shared this exciting news. Showrunner Russell T. Davies has confirmed that David Tennant is the 14th Doctor for 3 special episodes, and Nkuti Gatwa will be introduced as the 15th Doctor. This means we'll get a lot more of those what? before yet another regeneration. Doctor Who returns in 2023. Jeff also shared what the BBC channel didn't show us. And you can follow the link included on our site to find out what that is.
Oh, yes, the link. Be sure to put that in the show notes. It's also in the Facebook group. And this is something that I wanted to bring up, because we've talked about this so many times off and on through the years. This, what BBC America didn't show us, is basically a short teaser trailer for the episode that we're going to get in 13 months. And there's a couple more surprises in there that I don't want to mention necessarily because it was spoilery, but we have the link if you want minor spoilers. Trust me, in 13 months, it's going to be spoiled, at least this some of the things we saw in there. But you know how many times BBC, at least BBC America, because BBC in England, they don't have commercials. But before the final segment of Doctor Who, they would show some sort of trailer for the next episode, spoiling any drama that was built in leading up to the moment. So at least I don't think any of the networks showed this teaser trailer, because it would have spoiled everything about the 14th Doctor reveal, among other things. But you got to make sure you see that, Jada, if you haven't already.
You know what? It sounds interesting. I was thinking about trying to hold back with spoilers and stuff, but wow, the way you said 13 months, I was like, yep, nope, that's not going to happen.
Yeah, and it's only about like 20 seconds, and everything you see is only for a half a second, but there's at least one shot in there. I'm like, oh.
All right, I can't wait. Well, you know, our Golden Spiral Media founder, Daryl Darnell, shared this news from a Gizmodo article. Not only will Doctor Who have a new retro logo going forward, but the U.S. broadcast rights will now be on Disney Plus.
Oh, boy.
That's awesome. I think it's awesome.
You do?
Because I have not been able to find Doctor Who anywhere. I haven't been able to watch it anywhere.
Interesting, because I see there's definitely pros and cons on each side of it. I'm just not a fan of Disney Plus, but you know, this is where it is. You know, they had the money, so for at least here in the United States, instead of it being on BBC America, I guess it's just going to be on Disney Plus instead.
Yeah, because I think up until now it's been on HBO.
Oh yeah, the older episodes. Yeah, and I think they're going to go to Disney Plus, but I guess even the new episodes, from what this article made it sound like, and so Daryl, thanks for posting that. Sounds like the live stream on that night is going to be on Disney Plus or something as well. But so that's going to be very, very interesting. But I guess if it's on Disney Plus, does that mean the Ruth Doctor is now a Disney princess unofficially?
Oh, no. Isn't Jody?
I guess Rose. We got the whole slew of them. Yes.
Oh wow. We could keep going. That's a lot. Well,
yeah, we've got Ace T, and we could go down the line for a long time. Martha Jones, Donna Noble. Anyways, all princesses in our hearts. So yes, we will go from there, and that's going to pretty much wrap it up. But further discussions are still continuing in the Don't Blink Facebook community group. I mean, I'm prepping for the podcast, and there's new things in there like every half hour. And eventually I'm like, I got to just get ready for the show. So go and join the Don't Blink Facebook community group. We'd love to have you there. You just have to answer 3 easy questions so that we know that you're not some future incarnation of Missy or the Master trying to wreck things and do de-regeneration kind of stuff to us. And with that being said, Jada, do you have anything else that you'd like to promote going on right now?
Nope. Right now it's just I'm all aflutter with Whovian feelings of yay.
And I'm glad that at least in your neck of the woods, things worked out pretty well with the recent hurricane down there in Florida. That is good news. For me, of course, the Packers Fan Podcast, whether the Packers win or lose, we are talking about it at PackersFanPodcast.com. Be sure to follow Jada and I on Twitter at Doctor Who GSM for the podcast, at Wayne Henderson for me, at Jada Wilkerson 74 for Jada, coincidentally enough. And remember to subscribe to Don't Blink wherever you listen to your favorite podcast, so you'll get the new episodes automatically whenever they do come out. And I personally recommend checking out one of the advanced new podcasting 2.0 players like the Fountain app. There's lots of great features that other podcasts are already implementing. You can check out the full list of new podcast apps at, well, newpodcastapps.com. And of course, you can always listen directly on the website if you want to go old school at don'tblinkpodcast.com.
Until next time, please tell your friends all about the Don't Blink podcast. And don't blink. Don't even blink.
Thank you for listening to Don't Blink, a Doctor Who fan podcast, part of the Golden Spiral Media Podcast Network of shows. I'm the Doctor in Utah, and the majestic tale of a madman in a box are used with permission from Silver Screen Records. They are composed by Murray Gold and performed by the BBC National Orchestra of Wales, conducted by Ben Foster. Taken from the original Doctor Who soundtrack, Doctor Who Series 6, available on Silver Screen Records.